Brady Saar, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services, Erskine. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman. We'll have a report from Tyler Donaldson as well. Temps across the northern plains swinging sharply here over the next few days, with the warmest readings in southeast North Dakota, western Minnesota. Areas along the international border will stay cooler. Expect more clouds today. Highs in the low 50s, followed by a big warm-up tomorrow. Temperatures climbing into the 60s, even low 70s, parts of western Minnesota. Cold front moves through late tomorrow, bringing a quick cool down for Thursday, along with gusty northwest winds and a chance for spotty rain and snow showers. Meanwhile, southeast South Dakota, southwest Minnesota staying warm, dry, breezy through the end of the week. And those conditions creating elevated to critical fire danger, especially Thursday and again on Saturday. Heavy rain across Argentina is creating a mixed outlook for crops and harvest progress there. World Weather Incorporated says the moisture has helped late planted corn, oilseeds, and cotton. It's also slowed the maturation and early harvest of some crops. Localized flooding and minor damage possible in the hardest hit areas, with rainfall totals ranging from 1.5 to nearly 8 inches in key production regions over the past week. Harvest progress still moving ahead, with corn 14% complete, sunflower harvest reaching 51%, both ahead of last year. However, wet field conditions expected to slow progress in the short term. Additional scattered rains in the forecast through early next week, but drier and warmer weather will be needed to improve field work and protect crop quality. President Trump says the U.S. will delay planned strikes on Iran's energy infrastructure for 5 days following what he calls productive talks between Washington and Tehran. A decision coming after rising tensions in the Middle East and sharp swings in global oil markets. Trump says discussions are ongoing and the pause is dependent on progress, but emphasizing military action remains an option if negotiations fail. Despite that announcement, skepticism remains. Iranian officials denying meaningful talks are taking place and claim the U.S. backed down under pressure. President Trump's decision to pause those strikes on Iran's energy infrastructure, driven in part by behind-the-scenes diplomacy led by Middle Eastern intermediaries. According to reports, foreign ministers from Egypt, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and Pakistan worked to open communication channels with Iran even after key Iranian leadership figures were killed earlier in the conflict. Those efforts included a proposal for a 5-day halt in fighting to create momentum towards a broader ceasefire. As those discussions reached Washington, Trump reversed course, putting military action on hold and signaling openness to negotiations. That move calming the markets, with oil prices dropping sharply and stocks posting gains. Iran is demanding guarantees against future attacks and compensation, while the U.S. continues to push for limits on Iran's nuclear and missile programs. More than 50 state grower groups and 8 national agricultural organizations urging the U.S. Department of Commerce to remove duties on imported phosphate fertilizer. In a letter filed Friday, groups including the National Corn Growers, National Association of Wheat Growers, and USA Rice say continuing those duties would further strain farmers already facing tight margins and high input costs. The organizations argue the tariffs first imposed in 2020 on imports from Morocco and Russia have limited supply options and contributed to higher prices. USDA is reminding livestock producers impacted by wildfires several disaster assistance programs are available to help recover losses. USDA Farm Production and Conservation Undersecretary Richard Fordyce outlines the key support options available through the Farm Service Agency.
With the Farm Service Agency, the first one that kind of comes to mind is the Livestock Indemnity Program. If you have livestock that either were killed in the wildfire or were damaged in some way and have lost value, the Livestock Indemnity Program can come in and offer financial assistance. The next one is ELAP. It helps producers with compensation for feed and grazing losses. It helps farmers and ranchers pay for that feed, and it also pays for transportation.
USDA encouraging producers affected by wildfire losses to contact their local Farm Service Agency office for assistance. Federal Farm Group's becoming increasingly important as producers deal with high input costs and weak commodity prices. They say farm programs are important. USDA programs, including income support and disaster assistance, providing the financial backstop for many farmers facing tight margins. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. The USDA has updated Product of USA labeling rules designed to give consumers clearer information about where their meat comes from. USDA Undersecretary for Food Safety Mindy Brashears explains the updated definition.
Through a lot of research and the whole rulemaking process, we actually changed that to be more transparent to the consumer. So now, if something says product of the USA, that means that animal was born, raised, harvested, and processed in the U.S.
The updated rule took effect January 1st, clarifies what qualifies for a product of USA label.
We found out that consumers thought that if a product was labeled product of the USA, especially a meat product, the assumption was that that animal was raised in the U.S. and harvested, when in actuality, all that had to happen was we could import meat from another country and it could be processed in the U.S.
USDA says the new definition is intended to improve transparency, better align labeling with consumer expectations. USDA working to expand trade opportunities in Southeast Asia with a new mission to Vietnam this week. The Trade Reciprocity for U.S. Manufacturers and Producers mission is focused on opening new markets, strengthening export opportunities, and ensuring fair competition for American farmers, ranchers, and producers. USDA Undersecretary Luke Lindbergh says strong, reliable markets are critical for U.S. ag to succeed globally. Vietnam continues to grow as a key customer for U.S. products. In 2025, exports of agricultural, fishery, and forest products jumped 45% to a record $5.6 billion, making Vietnam the eighth largest market for the United States. Argentina moving grain overseas buyers at a strong pace this season. Record sunflower exports and booming corn sales are helping push one of the country's biggest harvest years into the world market. The Rosario Grain Exchange says shipments are moving well, even with the Middle East tensions, adding volatility to global prices and increasing freight costs. Argentina benefiting from record corn and wheat production and its best sunflower harvest of the 21st century. Sunflower oil exports are off to their strongest start to a marketing year since 2005, while raw sunflower seed shipments reaching record first quarter levels. Corn exports also gaining momentum, with a new export season expected to top 4 million metric tons. That advantage may narrow later this year as Brazil's second crop, corn, begins reaching global buyers. New USDA data is shedding light on farmland ownership and rental trends across the United States. Brian Combs with the National Agricultural Statistics Service says the latest 10-year ownership and transition of agricultural land survey, or TOTAL, provides updated insight on how much land is actually being leased.
TOTAL survey provides comprehensive data on the financial and demographic aspects of agricultural land ownership. We last conducted this survey in 2014, and it's basically gathering information on both operating landlords and non-operating landlords. Those landlords collectively rented out 350 million acres of farmland. There were over 2 million landlords who leased agricultural land to farmers. This is a slight increase from 2014.
The survey also highlights who owns that farmland and how it's being used.
348 million acres of land rented. Over 85% of that is concentrated in the Plains, the West, and the Midwest region. And roughly 60% of the land rented out is cropland. If we look at who is renting out that land, there are over 1.1 million non-operating landlords. And we compare that to 260,000 operating landlords. Those non-operating landlords have asset values that total $1.7 trillion, which is a 47% increase from 2014.
North Dakota's Industrial Commission expanding financial support for farmers through the 2026 Farm Financial Stability Loan Program. Additional funding brings total support to $500 million, including funds from the Grain Inventory Loan Program. The move aimed at helping farmers manage ongoing financial stress tied to the high input costs, volatile markets, and weather-related losses. State leaders say farmers dealing with a combination of challenges, including last summer's weather, trade uncertainty, low commodity prices, and this program offers loans at a fixed interest rate, 3.75% for 5 years, helping farmers rebuild working capital, manage expenses, and restructure debt. This is the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. There's been a lot of talk recently about data and AI in our farm equipment and machinery. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson reports.
University of Wisconsin soybean and small grain specialist Sean Conley recently spoke at NDSU's Soybean Symposium about a new AI tool that can help farmers determine if they're using optimal practices in their soybean production.
One thing we learned is that, A, we still need human in the loop. It's not like AI is going to take our jobs away from us. And B, we as scientists are really not publishing correct amounts of information to fully utilize these AI technologies down the road. A group of us are right now working on a paper basically trying to come up with a standard, like everything that we publish in order for a meta-analysis to be incorporated. So that's part of it.
Conley, along with other researchers, are working on a paper that they hope will set the standard for AI usage in machinery and agriculture.
We worked with an ag consulting group and built an AI tool that a farmer can drop a pin in any field in the United States and run a scenario and look at what the optimal production practices are for soybean or corn. We did corn as well. And then we asked farmers to test our tool. And we're doing some work here at NDSU with Lindsay Malone and her team on this one. And basically what we want to do is have farmers try it and see, does the tool work? We're basically trying to break it and then see where the data gaps are. And I think that's been really interesting because this last year we did a first cut of data. And on average, we saw a $53 per acre increase in profit using this tool over what a farmer was normally doing.
Conley says one of the strengths of AI is the ability to identify weaknesses where farmers and business managers might not.
I think what we're doing here is we're seeing some places where we can fit it, but also understand as the more we use AI, we see where the holes are and the gaps are, and that's where the scientists come back in to plug those gaps, if you will.
The tool is currently in beta testing, but Conley says it is available for farmers to try out for free.
Any farmer in the country can use it free of charge. I encourage farmers to try it. Just go to my website, Badger Crop Network. It's called Boots on the Ground version 2.0, and you can get all the information. Use the tool for free, try it on their farm, and give us feedback. Let us know if it works or not.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Bayer's new Viconic soybean trait is expected to be available commercially in 2027. According to Asgrow portfolio lead Ryan Goddard, it'll be the first trait offering tolerance to 5 different herbicides.
We expect it to hit the market for an introduction in 27, making a bigger splash in market year 28. So it's everything that an XtendFlex soybean is, plus mesotrione and also 2,4-D. So really offering our growers a lot of options in terms of weed control.
In addition to the new flexibility, Goddard says it also has excellent yield potential.
We're seeing really close to a 2-bushel advantage versus our existing portfolio, and a lot of that is how our breeders and scientists have designed that trait to make sure that we're not bringing any yield drag, and it's really exciting to look at these soybeans.
Mixed market now in overnight trade. We're looking at Minneapolis wheat July up 2 3/4 now, 644 and a quarter. July Chicago up a penny, 601, and May Kansas City's up 2 cents, 605 and a quarter. You got May corn up 2 1/4 now, 461, 3/4. The Dease corn is up 1 1/4, 487, 3/4. May soybeans were down a nickel now, 1158 and a half. November's down 3, 1143 and a half. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.